Well, Centers for Spiritual Living, of which we are a part as an organization, is doing a theme this year, and it's called Values-Based Spiritual Living. And so is what they are doing is they are putting out different themes every single month that are based on our values and principles as a spiritual organization. And so they put out these ideas, and what it is it's available for ministers to tap into if they would like to base their talks each month on these different principles and values that we stand on as an organization. So today we're going to begin a focus on that, values-based spiritual living, leading and living principle-centered, spirit-led lives. Like, we don't do that all the time, actually. That is what we do here. And so today we're going to begin with what else but love. And so the title of my talk today is Choose Love. And I'm talking about love and fear and choosing love rather than or over than choosing fear. And so here at Living Beyond Limits, we have principles that we stand on all of the time. And that is that we are here as individuals to bring that divine presence into this world in a way that is healing to those around us, in a way that brings peace into this world, in a way that makes this world a better place to live in a way that creates peace and harmony and beauty and that fosters that sense of oneness. That's what we're about here today. And so one of the ways that we create that better world is through love, through being anchored in love, through being the presence of love, through seeing through the eyes of love, through being dedicated to having that be a core value of ours, love. Because when we do that, that's how we bring good into the world. That's how we make good real and how we make love real. And so that shows up in a myriad of ways. It could show up as simply holding a door open for someone or listening to someone who's having a hard time in their lives and just needs to talk, just being present with them. It can show up as being involved in politics, standing up for what you love, whether that's standing up for animals or for people or for the underserved or for whatever it is that calls to your heart, but it's about doing it from a place of love. It could be volunteering. It could be all different things that we do, but it's about coming from love when we do those things. And I know that in today's world, it seems super easy to get into fear. Is all you have to do is turn on the TV or log on to being online. And those things, it's so easy, can make us feel afraid. The threats of dams breaking open and the threat of nuclear war and perhaps a White House that is not in alignment with your own personal values, all those things can get us feeling very fearful. Makes me think of something that I read that's about a tiger's roar. It says, one of the most majestic of all creatures is the tiger. For many years, these beautiful creatures have puzzled researchers. It seems that when tigers hunt, they have a remarkable capacity for causing their prey to paralyze with fear, a capacity greater than any of the other big cats. As the tiger charges towards its helpless prey, it lets out a spine-chilling roar. Now, you'd think this would be enough to cause the prey to turn and run for its life, but instead, it often freezes and becomes tiger food. At the turn of the century, scientists at the Fauna Communication Research Institute in North Carolina discovered why you're likely to freeze on the spot rather than run when the tiger charges. When the tiger roars, it lets out sound waves that are audible, the ones that sound terrifying. It also lets out a frequency so low you can't hear it, but you can feel it. And so the tiger emerges from the undergrowth, flashing its colors, the sound of its roar, and the impact of the unheard but felt sound waves combine to provide an all-out assault on your senses. The effect is that you are momentarily paralyzed. Even though there may be time to avoid the tiger, you are tricked into standing still long enough for the tiger to leap on you. Our fears operate in the same way. They paralyze us into activity, even when the real threat is not immediately upon us. It's so easy to get caught up in the fear of what might happen that we can become immobilized. Anwar Sadat said, "Fear is, I believe, a most effective tool in destroying the soul of an individual and the soul of a people." In our fear, we forget our spirit. In our fear, we forget our love. In our fear, oftentimes we forget our humanity. In our fear, we forget that we are connected to everyone and everything and the whole of things. In the book 365 Days of Richer Living by Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker, one of the two of them, or both of them, say this: "I realize that fear is not godlike, since it contradicts the divine presence, repudiates limitless love, and denies infinite good. Therefore, I know that fear is a lie, a fraud. It is neither person, place, nor thing. It is merely an imposter that I have believed in. I have entertained it so long that it seems as if it were really something. And it attempts to make me believe that 2 and 2 are 7, that the earth is flat, and that God is limited. Today, I repudiate all fear. I enter into conscious union with the Spirit. I accept the good as supreme, positive, and absolute." The only reason we get afraid is because we have forgotten that the allness of God is right where we are. The only reason that we get afraid is because we have forgotten that love and power and good and wholeness and enoughness are here right now where we are at every single moment. We have forgotten that we walk in that presence, that we walk with that presence, and that that presence of the absolute infinite good of this universe lives within us, that it is at the center of our lives, at the center of every single moment that we live in. That's the only reason we get afraid. So when instead we act from love instead of fear, what we do is we place ourselves squarely in the center of that presence. We make ourselves available to that presence when we come from love, because we align ourselves with it, because we become like it. It's like taking two hoses that are the same size and placing them up end to end. When we are like that presence, then it flows into our lives. And then it fills our lives with love and with good and with peace and whatever it is that we are seeking. So then it can flow out from us and affect the people that are all around us. When we come from love, when we come from our spirit, fear cannot take root and take hold within us. Out of that conscious awareness that the allness of God is right here, fear cannot make home in us. That doesn't mean that you won't have passing fears. We will always have passing fears, but it can't take hold and set down roots and grow within us when we are centered in the truth that that omnipresence of spirit is right where we are. And so let me give you an example of what that might look like. You all, if you've been here for any time, have heard me tell stories about my next door neighbor, Al, whose MO is to be a bully, and over the years has given me a hard time many, many times. And so what happens is when he acts like that bully and does that is he pushes my buttons. And then I get angry and I get defensive. But when I am anchored in knowing that that presence of the infinite, the source of all of my good, is right where I am, that it is at the center of my being, then I don't have to defend myself. then I don't have to fight against. It shifts my perspective. It's no longer out here about what he's saying or doing. It's in here, and I get to stand in my wholeness and in my enoughness and in my power, because everything that I could possibly need is already here inside of me. When I remember and know and I'm anchored in the fact that I am here to bring that presence into this world, to bring that love and that peace and that good and that wholeness and that oneness into this world, that that's my job, that shifts my perspective about what this encounter is about. It shifts my perspective about what is really going on in this moment. Then, when I'm centered in those two things, it's easy to be peaceful. It's easy to stay calm. Then I don't need to defend myself, because in that conscious awareness, I am safe. In that conscious awareness, I have whatever I need. I don't need to get it from Al. I get it from in here. When I'm anchored in that consciousness, I know that I am enough. Then my reliance is on God, the God within me, not something out here. And when my reliance is on that one presence that is always where I am, then all is well. Then I don't have to stress. So fear is restrictive. It causes us to go in and close off. And because it's restrictive, it closes us off from the good. It closes us off from creative ideas and opportunities and other perspectives, seeing things in a different way. It closes us off from insights that we might have. But when instead we are coming from love, when we are grounded in our own spirit, then it opens us up. It opens us up to creative ideas and creative opportunities. It opens us up to feeling peaceful. It opens us up to being able to be present in the moment that we are, instead of worrying about what might happen or what happened last time. When we are centered in our own spirit, and when we are coming from love, this is big. It puts us on the same team as whoever we are with. It puts us on the team of humanity. It puts us on the team of oneness. It puts us on the team of this one human family. When I come from love, then Al and I are on the same team. And when we're on the same team, then it's easy to want to come up with a solution that works for both of us. It's easy to hear what he has to say, because then I want to make it work. Gary Zukav says, the hardest time to choose love are the very times when you can grow spiritually. In fact, they are the only times you can grow spiritually. The times when it's hardest to love, that's when our spirit is calling us to step into that greater and to remember who we are and to remember what we are. And to remember that that infinite presence, whatever you want to call it, is right here, right now. And so here's another story that's really amazing. So recently, Al's wife and his daughter, who lives across the street, went on a trip to see the other daughter that lives in Idaho. And so his daughter, Lisa, came over and said to me, you know, we're going to be leaving. I want to know if you just kind of keep an ear open for my dad and kind of keep an eye out for him. He fell in the backyard recently, and nobody knew that he'd fallen for quite a while. We got him a whistle to wear on his neck. Will you just kind of keep your eye open? Absolutely, I will keep my eye open. Absolutely, because I care. And so they went on their trip, and nothing happened, and everything was fine. But the next week, I was going to get in my car. Colleen and I were getting in my car, and he was out raking his lawn. And he came over to my car, and I rolled my window down, and he apologized for being such a jerk. he thanked me for my willingness to keep an eye out for him and apologized. That is healing, and that is like a small miracle. It's amazing. And so I want to know from you, what does choosing love rather than fear look like? What does choosing love instead of fear look like in your own life? What does that mean to you to choose love over fear? And so I have my long cord today. I'd like to hear from you. What does that mean to you? Who will speak? What does that look like in your own life when you choose love instead of fear? Huh?
You take risks.
You take risks. Here, tell us.
Oh, no, that's it.
He says you take risks.
I know for me, with the political climate being the way it is, and I choose to look at my love of certain ideals in this country, of things that I really believe in strongly, equality for all, et cetera. Leslie Spann and I are creating a political action group, and each meeting will not be about, you know, negativity, but really that higher vibrational level, hopefully, of humor and inspiration and activism. So just wanted to quickly invite anyone who wants to join us, talk to Leslie or I about that. But that's how we're choosing love over fear, you know, in this environment. So,
who else will share? What does it look like to choose love over fear? Peggy.
Feel the fear and do it anyways.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Nice.
So one of my favorite songs that I had learned the words to years and years ago was the words that really impacted me were, "Where's the happy ever after you've looked for all your life, all your years?" The answer is locked inside your heart, a prisoner of your fears. So we all have love. We all are love. And you've heard many times the trip from the head to the heart is the longest trip of your life. When we reach the heart, we join that place that Jennifer's talking about. We recognize we don't forget any longer that we are and who we are. And I'm a high-energy, crazy person and really have a good temper, and I've lived many years expressing with that temper, thinking that it was going to get me what I wanted. It never did. I have a quick story. Can I tell a quick story?
Quick story.
I was a service manager for a lot of years, and I threw a guy off the lot one time. He was out there giving me a hard time, and I finally just got really angry, and I said, "Just get out of here." And I slammed the door on him and kicked him off my lot. And what happened amazed me. I turned around and walked back into the shop, and the mechanics all started applauding, and they came over and told me how wonderful I'd done, and they were so proud of me. And I was in abject despair. I had lost everything. I knew that what the activity that I had done cost me my own happiness, and it didn't have anything to do with him. But it just kind of pointed out to me how our culture and society has a misconception of what it is to be loving and kind. Because the truth is, that guy was a turnaround. You get somebody like that, I learned to turn them around. They were the best customers in the world when you turn them around. So that's the way I finally started learning to handle that. Anyway, love is a great game.
As you were talking, I had a flash of a woman that I work with in the office, and she's been very stressed, and really almost everything out of her mouth is very, very negative. And I find myself like resisting and being tense and not wanting to be around her. And what Ray just spoke to helped me to see that then I'm cutting off my own pleasure and my own joy. And the other day, I needed to call her and talk to her. And that's usually what I get. But I set my intention to just into the loving and knowing that she's suffering right now. and that a lot of times she just needs to vent, and she needs to, she just needs to say what she needs to say, and she deserves to be heard. So in the spirit and intention of goodwill and rapport, I decided to, you know, just listen to all the extraneous things that she needed, felt that she needed to share with me. And actually her attitude and her way of being was probably the nicest that I've ever experienced with her. So I'm just, it, what you were talking about helped me to see other places too where I'm experiencing negativity and I feel myself squeeze off and I don't have the same matching hoses mm-hmm. to keep the flow going. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
And we're one. So thank you for the reminder.
Nice.
When my children were teenagers, they were not the nicest people in the world. And a lot of us can believe that. And I stood firm in the house rules, and if they didn't like it, they could go. And they both did. But I was always there to welcome them back. And it took a while. My daughter had left, and she got a puppy. And the first thing she did from getting the puppy is call me and say, "Mom, I want to come over and show you my puppy." And as an animal lover, the love of animals brought us back together. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, you know, it was fine. Nobody said, "Look what you did," brought up the past. And the same with my son. You know, he came back and nobody said, "Oh, this was the day I apologized and came back." It was always known that my husband and I were always there for them, but we gave them time to figure it out for themselves. And I felt really secure knowing that they were on their own journey, their own path. And I just centered myself in love and knowing that they were okay and would come out okay.
Nice. Anybody else? Marianne.
So for me, choosing love over fear, that's what there's a number of different emotions I find that at first it oftentimes can be kind of scary because it feels like it's a lot easier to just walk away from something or close off and be constricted, as you said. But so it's scary to sort of dive into it and take the step for love. And then I find that it's very empowering and it's very freeing.
Yeah.
And I'm always kind of delighted by the miracles that come forward, which are really just the natural way of life, it seems like. You know, so when, you know, maybe my next door neighbor comes and apologizes to me for something, which I totally resonated with what you were talking about, your neighbor. It's like, "Oh my gosh, look at what happened when I just love them. Wow, look at that." And I think that it's, and yet it's, of course it did, because that's the way of love. And yet it's so fun how to see the miracle. And, so it's freeing once I get past the fear and the scared, the energy of being scared, diving into it. I feel empowered and expanded
nice.
And free.
Nice. And don't you find really everybody too, when you do that, when you come from love, that all of a sudden you are on the same team? It's amazing. Before that person was your enemy or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'd like to share one more story with you here. In the immediate aftermath of the September 11th attacks, our Canadian neighbors sprang into action to help American airspace, to help clear American airspace of any other potentially dangerous flights. Canadian authorities began diverting flights heading into the U.S. to various locations around Canada to help neutralize any lingering threats. But the task was a tricky one. It wouldn't have made much sense to pull flights away from American airspace, only to route them to Canada's major cities. So the ideal landing spots for these planes would have to be relatively remote, while also having a large enough airport to accommodate all the traffic. As luck would have it, Canada had just such an airport in Gander, Newfoundland. The tiny town only boasted 10,000 residents. But what it lacked in population size, it more than made up for in airport capacity. Gander ended up receiving 38 flights in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Gander's population may have been small at 10,000, but the town was ridiculously hospitable. To say the locals bent over backwards to accommodate their unexpected guests would be a gross understatement. Responding to radio announcements, the residents and businesses of Gander and other nearby towns supplied toothbrushes, deodorant, soap, blankets, and even spare underwear, along with offers of hot showers and guest rooms. When the travelers stepped off the planes, Gander's citizens met them with homemade bagged lunches. The town converted its schools and large buildings into temporary shelters. And when those lodgings filled up, citizens took strangers into their homes. Medical personnel saw patients and filled prescriptions free of charge. All of the high school students had to volunteer taking care of the guests. They were given tokens to go to the local laundromat to wash their clothes since their luggage was still in the airport. Every single need was met for those unfortunate travelers. And get this, during the day, the passengers were taken on excursion trips. Some people went on boat cruises on the lakes and harbors. Some went to see the local forests. No organization with financial backing was behind this. This was a call to neighbors and friends to come help those in need. When the stranded passengers finally got to fly home a few days later, they couldn't believe how wonderful their Canadian hosts had been. One stewardess said, "When it came time for the passengers to fly back to Atlanta, it was like they had been on a cruise. Everybody knew everybody else by name. They were swapping stories of their stay." That's what happens when we come from love. We get put on the same team. Then we want everyone to win. Then we want the good for everyone because we're all in this together, same team, same family. As spiritual beings, we have a need to live in alignment with our spirit. We have a need to live in peace. We have a need to live with a sense of unity with our fellow human beings. And we have a need to live with a sense of assurance. When we are living from our spirit, when we are living from love, that's exactly where it takes us. And so my invitation to you is to choose love. And you see the sign we have up here? We have made signs for everybody. They are yard signs, and they have little wire holders for you to put in your front yard as a reminder and as a statement and actually as a conversation starter with other people about choosing love. And so my invitation for you is to choose love, to be love, to let your actions be motivated by love, and by the divine within you that is the essential nature of who you are. And you know what? In order to do that, it takes practice. And it takes spiritual practice. It takes meditating, and it takes being contemplative to discover that presence in you, because then it's easy to come from there. Ernest Holmes says, "The suggestion of limitation, fear, and doubt cannot find entrance to that mental home where God is enthroned as the supreme guest." When God lives so actively inside of us and we are so aware of that presence and so open to it, there is no room for fear to take hold. And the second invitation for you is to know that you are on a soul journey. That's what you're here for. You're on a soul journey. And this, everything that shows up that seems a little bit scary, that calls for love, is a part of that journey that you are on, that you've come here to be and to live. And when you feel fear, because undoubtedly it's going to come up, tell that fear you are a lie and a fraud because you deny the divine presence that is right here. You are a lie and a fraud. The divine presence is right here. That fear does not have reality. It's not based in reality. That presence is always right where you are, guiding you and leading you and giving you the ideas that you need and supplying you with what you need. It is always unfolding as good in your life and through you. And as a result of remembering that, that you are anchored in this presence and that you are here to bring that into the world, you will absolutely be living with greater peace. Absolutely be living with a greater sense of ease. You will be participating in your own evolution and creating a world that works for everyone. And so I thank you for walking this path, and I bless every single one of you on this path of awakening and of giving way to your greatest yet to be and giving way to love. Thank you and blessings. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. Oh, and so how good it is to be in recognition of this infinite one. That infinite presence that fills all of time and all of space with its very beingness. This presence of good itself. This presence of love that everything is founded upon. That love that flows in and through everything, that is the very essence of existence. This love of God. For it is the most powerful thing that exists in this entire universe. For it is the crux and the foundation of everything. And so today we walk in this awareness that yes, indeed, we are one with this presence. That we are individualized expressions of it. Here to bring that presence into this world in a most profound way. In a way that brings peace. In a way that brings healing. In a way that creates a better world. And so today we walk in this presence and with this presence and as this very presence, bringing it into this world as a boundless good. And so today we stand firm in love, that this is our core value, that this is what we have come here to do. And love leads the way, and love opens the way. And love connects us each one to another in this family of humanity. And so today, as we come from love, everyone shows up as part of our team. That we are all on this same collective team, this collective humanity. And so I just say thank you, God, for this realization, for this understanding, for this opportunity to be of service in this world and to bring heaven to earth. For that is what is happening right now. And so I just claim love for each of us, and we stand firm in it. This is the magnificence of God. And so I say thank you to the entire universe. Thank you for this path and this knowing and this awakening and this beingness. And so I release this prayer with absolute faith and conviction that this is the truth. And it unfolds itself in our lives. And I let this go and I let it be. And so it is.